about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Give me a cue when we're ready. Give me a cue when we're ready. Cue when ready.
We're rolling. Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
That song is killing me. Could you please turn it off?
Something is wrong here.
You know what I was thinking about last night? Being straight is gay. I mean, how gay is it being attracted to a woman all pink and perfumey? You know, it's like, ooh, I like girls.
Being a woman is no fun.
When we're serene, people say we're boring.
When we're confident, people say we're arrogant.
When we're feminine, people say we're too girly.
And when we're good at sports, people say we're lesbians, which is so hot.
And now,
let's listen now to a typical program.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 21st of April.
What's crackling, you guys?
Hey.
Okay.
I was less than enthusiastic, right. Lisa.
Well, you know, I'm pretty hungover from Easter. Like, you
sure.
know, we party like hard in my family on Easter.
Sure.
Let me just say. Like, it was off.
Yeah, I saw your brunch picture.
It
looked like you guys were really going for it.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
There.
Anyone seen Dave yet?
Yeah, he's here.
Did he survive?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Weekend. Wow. I can't believe he did 2 weekends
Coachella?
In a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot.
It's impressive, I got to say.
Even you, Mr. Dance or Die, couldn't do 2.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because after the first weekend, you know, Monday and Tuesday, you go, wow, I would never go to weekend 2. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you start going, oh, I sort of want to be there now. I don't like that it's going on without me. I don't like people having fun that I'm not there.
It's kind of a variation on I'll never drink again.
Yeah, it's exactly.
A few days go by and all of a sudden it doesn't sound so bad. You kind of forget the pain that you endured to go through. Hey, speaking of pain, before we get started with today's excellent Kevin and Bean Show, you know I love the 3D printing. You know the 3D printing is a thing that I've been obsessed with ever since we first heard about it. Well, they're very close to being able to put a 3D printed heart into your chest.
Oh, my God.
That
I don't even understand that.
I don't either. I don't understand half the things they're doing with 3D printing. That's the side note to the story that I do want to talk about, which is another amazing advancement in science. Vaginas are good, right?
Yes.
I think
that's
a given.
Really, really, really good.
I don't think that's a question.
Unfortunately, there are some women who are born with a syndrome called the Meyer-Rokitansky-Kuster-Hauser syndrome. It's
sure.
a rare genetic condition in which you don't have a vagina, or your vagina is and uterus are undeveloped or absent. So essentially, you got nothing going on down there, and you can imagine all of the myriads of ways that that causes problems.
Right.
With being able to have sex, with being able to, you know, regular bodily functions, with being able to have a baby. You don't have a vagina.
You're like a Barbie doll?
You're hurting.
Pretty
you're
much.
Hurting. Yeah.
Wow.
There are women, yes, Lisa, who are born even without an opening.
Wow.
So the reason this is in the news is because researchers have figured out a way to man-make vaginas.
Yay!
With a 3D printer?
No, not a 3D printer this time. With lab-grown versions made from the women's own cells. Follow-up tests show that the new vaginas are indistinguishable from the women's own tissue and have grown in size as the young women who got their implants as, you know, vaginal implants as teens matured. So they basically put them in there and then they bond the way they're supposed to and continue to grow normally. In other words, you put them in there as teenagers, basically, and they continue to grow into young women.
That's amazing.
It's just mind-blowing, isn't it?
So these aren't like secondhand. These are like really good.
These are brand new vaginas that
secondhand.
Are made.
Secondhand.
Well, you know what I mean. They go, like,
it's
when
a transplant.
When they make a penis for someone who needs one, right, it doesn't. It's okay, but let's face it, it's not, you know.
It's not,
well,
right.
It's
not what
that,
you were
Lisa,
hoping for.
Because previously they have made vaginas from either one of two ways, either from the patient's own skin, which is not the same, you're right, or from intestinal tissue. And both of those have had problems in the past. But this new way that they're doing it, is apparently the deal. Apparently, this is what they're going to do. I mean, they basically build it in the lab. They start off by collecting a small amount of cells from genital tissue, mm-hmm. and then they grow muscle cells and something called epithelial cells, which is the type of cell that lines body cavities. And then after that grows, they start applying other layers of cell, build a scaffolding around it, put it into the body, and then it takes root and grows itself. And now they're fine. And these women are having sex and doing all the normal stuff that you're supposed to be doing with your vagina.
Just stunning.
I know. It's a miracle.
Yeah, it really is.
He did a great job with the vagina.
Yes, he did, in fact. we have so often said on this program that if it was up to us to do any of the hard stuff just wouldn't get done.
Isn't that the truth?
Get in my vagina.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
That is very cool.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I care more about this than anything you've ever cared about.
Brooklyn Decker.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You can stop right there.
I don't think I can ring it forever.
I mean, really.
Quite gave her enough to tell you the truth.
No, no, I meant the list.
Oh, really. The list.
I know you guys don't care about anything else.
That's true.
No, that's not true. Today we do care about something else. Today we have somebody on the show that I would pick over Brooklyn Decker if I had my choice.
Yes, yes, yes.
Judy Greer?
Yeah. She's awesome.
I love her too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the deal right there.
Right.
I agree.
Well, it depends on what are you picking her for?
Life.
But for life, yes.
Yeah, for life.
Okay.
Judy Greer.
I can see that.
Okay.
I could for a night.
Sorry, Judy.
We also have tickets for Arcade Fire. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to Luc Robitaille of the L.A. Kings.
Is this our new Ralph Garman character, Sad Luc Robitaille?
Sad Luke. We need a Sad Luke theme.
Yeah, yes,
we do. It was a rough game last night. That didn't go well.
It's been a rough two games, Kevin.
Yeah.
How do you get to the playoffs if you give up, what, 13 goals in the first two games of the playoffs?
I mean, if you think that's bad.
I mean,
technically, it's not ideal.
This is not the same team you've been watching all season.
Kings were ahead 2-0 at the end of the first period. And then, I don't know, the Sharks scored 7 goals in a row.
Oh, my God.
Ended up 7-2.
And how many times?
Lay down.
It was brutal.
How many times a year do you see a team score 7 goals in a game?
Once?
One? Yeah.
Once or twice.
Unbelievably rare.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, never.
Never. Yeah. That's not good.
Okay.
So anyway, and then Harvey Levin from TMZ in the 6 o'clock hour, as we always do. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin DeBeecho at 5:53.
We're going to hook you up with tickets for Arcade Fire. They're coming to the Forum August 1st and 2nd. We've got them for you all week long here on the Kevin DeBeecho. We have a couple of chances for you to win today, and they're in the first 5 rows. Plus, we're going to do a grand prize drawing next week for you to present the show with you and 9 friends score the show and have your own dressing room. How about that?
Pretty
That's
nice.
Quite a deal.
Pretty cool.
Name on the ticket and on the marquee. You get to introduce the band. That's the grand prize drawing. Get all those details at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up, boys and girls?
How was the WonderCon?
Oh, great weekend. Just great weekend across the board. But WonderCon was awesome. Had a chance to meet lots of Kevin and Bean listeners down there. It was very cool. And I was able to present the upcoming feature films for 20th Century Fox, which was great.
Nice.
I got to show some footage of some really cool movies that people were looking forward to seeing, including How to Train Your Dragon 2. Did you ever see the first one?
Yes. I don't think I ever did.
Really good film.
It was.
And the second one, they showed me about an hour of it. It just looks awesome. It's going to be in 3D. And
it's just show it to you if they're going to show you an hour of it.
Well, this was the package they were offering downtown. They did an event at Downtown Disney, the AMC Theater there, where they were showing fans a free hour of the film. I don't think it's finished, quite frankly.
I see.
It's 3D, and it's very elaborate, and they're still putting some of the final touches on the thing. So they showed them what they had, and it's really, really impressive.
Cool.
And then talked about a new film that's coming out later in the fall called Secret Service with Colin Firth, which he plays like a very cool James Bond-type character, which is going to be awesome. And then X-Men Days of Future Past, which was the big hit for all the geeks down there at the con, and also a movie called Maze Runner based on some popular books, and also Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, no kidding.
And I got a chance to hang backstage and chat a little with Gary Oldman.
Oh.
And I'll tell you something.
Oh, my.
He is every bit as cool as you would hope he would be when you had a chance to talk to him. And Andy Serkis, who does all the motion capture performance for Caesar in that film, but also did Gollum for the Lord of the Rings movies and King Kong, and he's sort of a legend. So just, it was really cool Geek Week. And then I was on a panel alongside Kevin Smith for the 75th anniversary of the Batman character. because we were working on this Batman comic book together. They put us up there alongside of Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman from the animated series, and Jim Lee, the publisher for DC Comics. So it was just Geek Weekend.
No kidding. Sounds like it.
It was good times. Aren't you sorry you asked now?
No, that's very, very exciting. By the way, Judy Greer, who's coming in later today, I think she's in that Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, too.
Yes, you're right. I didn't see any footage of her, but the stuff that I saw on this film is mind-blowing.
Really?
They have
the special effects part of it?
The motion capture down. They're creating characters out of motion capture performances, which, for those of you who don't know, the actors put on sort of a bodysuit that has all these reference points on it, and then the computer films them giving a performance, and then they're able to go back and computer animate a different performance, a different look for that character on top of that performance. They did it in Avatar, famously, and they did it in the first Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And this one, it's insane, because for the first time ever, they're able to do that, but instead of putting the actor up against a green screen and putting all of the scene around them to digitally animate that as well, they're able to do it now in practical situations. So you can take an actor out into the woods shoot him wearing one of those suits and just animate that character, so it's literally like having a new actor
in that scene.
Yeah, it was crazy. So the stuff that I saw makes it look very exciting. So it was good times. Speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, because it is Monday morning. Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, once again, coming in at number one this weekend with $26.6 million. Right behind it was Rio 2. People love those freaking parrots.
Yes, they do.
$22.5 million. Then the real surprise was Heaven is for Real. That little film starring Greg Kinnear about his son who almost dies and comes back and has
experiences about
what the afterlife is like. Was a monster hit this weekend with $21.5 million.
Wow.
Almost made as much money as the top two films. Transcendence, the new Johnny Depp film, debuted with $11 million, good enough to make it number four. Then A Haunted House 2. People went to see that. Kevin's people went to see that.
I didn't go.
You didn't see that?
No, I wanted to, but I didn't have time.
Fifth, then Draft Day, Divergent, Oculus, Noah, and God's Not Dead. All those were your top 10 movies at the box office. Well, I think it's official now. The Voice wins in the battle of the singing reality competition shows.
This has been coming for a long time.
Yeah, it's just been announced that Christina Aguilera is leaving the chair next season. You know, she's one of those people who slaps that button and picks singers and then coaches them and helps them win the competition. Her replacement will be Gwen Stefani.
Yeah!
Wow.
That's a pretty big get.
Yeah.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, I know American Idol has tried to do that with star power and stuff. In terms of, like, legit music coolness.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani's a pretty big get, so it's official.
And boy, she'll also wins. Be great because she has such a personality, too.
Yeah, she's adorable, and she's lovely and funny, and I think it's the perfect choice, and I'm glad they were able to do that.
That's cool.
It is very cool. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Voice of the Clippers. How did he end up on my birthday list, I wonder? Ralph Lawler is 76 years old today. How did a Clipper guy end up on my list?
That is shocking.
Not my fault.
Yeah. Iggy Pop, 67 years old. Tony Danza celebrates his 63rd birthday. Actress Andy McDowell is 56. Robert Smith of The Cure turns 55. Our friend, funny man Rob Riggle, celebrates his 44th birthday. And speaking of X-Men, Days of Future Past, which I saw some footage from, just my head exploded. James McAvoy, who plays, of course, the young Professor X in the franchise. He's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Actresses Judy Greer and Brooklyn Decker, both on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, you're not going to wear that, are you, when Brooklyn comes in here, are you, Kevin?
What?
You brought something to change. You're going to change before she gets here, right?
What's wrong with what I'm wearing?
Oh, dude, you're not going to win her over with that. You're not going to steal her from Tennis Boy wearing that, dude.
I have assless chaps in the other room.
That's what you need. Okay. You need to go to those. Hey, how about our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com? Catching up with him every Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
I got to tell you, I hate that the last 2 weeks there have been stories that have made me actually feel sorry for Lindsay Lohan. This is not the emotion I want in my Lindsay Lohan.
What?
I know. I'm starting to feel sorry for her.
Seriously?
Yeah, well, because, you know, if it's true what she said about that that sex list being, you know, photographed while she was in rehab and then distributed, you know, to the media, and now this...
Yeah, I feel really bad for her.
I feel really bad for her, too. That's a tremendous... I mean, she wrote that down as part of her AA, you know, stuff, and then for somebody to share that with the world is super uncool,
it's
Harvey.
It's just unbelievable that, yet again, somebody pilfers her things and they end up in public, you know?
So you're doubting the veracity of her version of that story.
Are you kidding me? This is a woman who has had somebody came in and got her the contents of her laptop, stole her phone, stole her lists.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a lot of stealing happening with her.
A lot of stealing, a lot of like really sensitive stuff that she might, I don't know, maybe sell or something.
Sure.
Well, maybe I'm a sucker then. Maybe I'm just being naive. How about this new revelation from last night's Sean Owen, though?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because if you believe a quarter of the list that she wrote, of course she got pregnant at some point.
Right. That's true. How could she not?
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, okay, so she – I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Is that show over? Her TV show?
I think
it
is done.
It is over, yes. Last
episode. There are people in my office who actually like it. I just can't watch her. I just can't. I mean,
yeah.
it's
I'm with
so
you.
It's so phony to me. And you know, okay, so now she says she had a miscarriage. Maybe she did. But, you know, given the list, what's the significance of it? When you really think about it, so she got pregnant by some guy that she banged, you know, on a list that's, you know, what's the point?
Well, she did not identify the father. It doesn't say on your report whether she knows who the father was.
What are the chances that that's somehow going to come out?
Oh, well, good point. Wow. Yeah. Harvey's had an assload of Lindsay.
Yep. He has, man.
I honestly, I shouldn't be saying this because, look, I mean, she's, you know, part of my business is this. And sometimes I have these out-of-body experiences where I'm just thinking, oh, God, enough.
But, yeah. What's your relationship with Lindsay Lohan been over the years? Is she cool with TMZ or are you guys foes?
Listen, we've had her on. She's been in the newsroom. You know, we've had her on TMZ Live, but it's just gotten to be so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because honestly, there was a long period of time I was really rooting for her, and I just felt, oh my God, you know, she didn't have a chance because of her parents, and you know, it seemed like she was pulling herself out. But at a point,
yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Moving on, the big story that everyone is talking about in Hollywood, and I'm nervous about speculating about this because we have so few actual concrete provable details, but every day it seems like something is added to this Bryan Singer story. Now, let me set up who he is for folks who don't know. He's one of the most successful producers of television and movies out there. He's got that new Black Box show that's getting ready to debut. He, of course, was the producer of House. He's got the new X-Men movie that's coming out. What's going on with him that you believe, Harvey?
Well, okay, let me just further set this up just a little bit. There's
Please.
A guy named Michael Egan, who's now 31 years old, who says that when he was 15, he was invited to these parties at this Encino mansion, and that he claims that at the mansion, and then on various trips afterward, Bryan Singer sexually assaulted him, molested him, raped him, drugged him, all sorts of things. And the two guys who own the house, I mean, one of them has been convicted already of sex crimes. We just put the affidavit of the FBI affidavit back in 2000 when all of this happened up on the site. And, you know, the things that they allegedly did, and this one guy was convicted. Now, they've fled the country, these two guys.
Oh,
but here's
really?
The thing. Here's the thing. Egan, the victim, who's now suing Bryan Singer, Egan was very detailed when he went to the FBI in 2000. Very detailed, because when you look at the affidavit, he's listed as minor number 4. We know that. And he was, you know, he remembered things line and verse. He never mentioned Bryan Singer.
Is that right?
We've spoken with FBI sources. They have all told us he never mentioned Bryan Singer.
It was all about those other two guys, the owners of the house?
Well, there were three guys.
Three guys.
And as a matter of fact, Michael Egan sued the three guys back in the early 2000s and got a default judgment, won, but the guys all left, so he was unable to collect any money. Bryan Singer was never mentioned in that lawsuit. So the question that everybody's asking is, if he remembers all, if he remembered all that detail back in 2000, how is it that Bryan Singer's name never surfaced, and he's now saying that he repressed all of this and that, and it was drinking, and only through this kind of radical therapy over the last 11 months did he remember Singer? That's what people are saying in terms of questioning the story. Now, I don't know what happened or what didn't happen, but I am told that his lawyer, Michael Egan's lawyer, is filing another lawsuit today naming other men from Hollywood, because what they're saying is basically there was this cabal of men who were very powerful in Hollywood who would bring these young guys in, and some of them under 18, and sexually assault them. That's the allegation.
Well, there certainly are plenty of people who are standing up for Bryan Singer, including other gay men who say, look, I've been around this guy, and that's not the way he operates. I mean, he definitely has his defenders, and we just don't know. But, I mean, and he is vehemently denying anything like this, right?
Vehemently denies it, and we put something up today with a Disney star who was underage when he became friends with him and says that he never laid a hand on him. So, you know, I mean, look, it is, again, I get back to it, very curious that he never mentioned anything about Singer until now.
The only reason I hate stories like this, Harvey, because long after this case is dropped, if that ends up what happening, you just remember that he's the guy who's accused of this thing, even if he had nothing to do with it. That's the unfair thing about the way our memories work.
You're absolutely right.
TMZ airs on Fox Monday through Fridays at 6. TMZ Live airs Monday through Fridays at 4, also on Fox. TMZ Sports weekends at midnight on Fox. And, of course, the website of record is TMZ.com. Harvey, love you, buddy. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Great talking to you guys.
Here's what I'm saying. If you've worked out a deal for the Dodgers broadcast where Vin Scully can't see the games that he's not at, then it's not a good deal.
Yeah.
It's a bad plan, right? Yeah. Let Vin enjoy the games that he's not at because he wants to watch them. He's got DirecTV. Dodger games are on Time Warner. We'll find out what the latest is on that with Chris Erskine. He is the writer for The Fan and The House column in the Los Angeles Times, coming up in about 20 minutes. And keep listening for your chance to win your way into Arcade Fire at the Forum. It's all coming up on K-Rock.
Or is it possible Vin's just had an ass full of the Dodgers?
Yeah, he doesn't want to watch him.
He's happy to watch, like, International House Hunters or something.
He's 86 years old.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but I suspect he wouldn't keep signing up to work for the Dodgers, as he has for almost 70 years, if he didn't still want to.
Or he doesn't know where he is. Or that's the option.
And then there's Dodger fans as well who can't see
the games. Oh, sure, there's them. They might be interested.
There's that group.
Yeah.
Bean's world and Ralph's world rarely intersect.
And by rarely, I mean never,
never,
right? Okay.
You get a circle
except
with
for
Ralph.
Nerd stuff, right, Ralph?
No.
A circle with Ralph's world in it and a circle with Bean's world in it, just nowhere near each other.
And whose circle do you think is bigger, by the way?
Ralph's. Sure.
Beans looks like a dot.
All right. It's not a circle so much as it is a dot. But the other day, they were talking in the office, and one of them started talking, and the other one started talking.
I know. It was weird.
And they were so excited. And so I kind of tuned in. I was like, what's going on? Bean and Ralph are agreeing on something.
It's like we found out we went to the same college and we were in the same fraternity.
That's right. It's strange. It's like, what? You two? That's so odd.
You two also were intersecting?
Oh.
I'll take it. So I tuned in to figure out what they were talking about. They were talking about their love, their overwhelming love of office supply stores.
Yay!
Oh man.
Really?
Get me in a Staples or an Office Depot, I'm in heaven.
Oh my God.
What kind of world is it where you're excited?
Is it a love of pens?
Look,
what's going on?
Oh, it's not any one thing, Lisa.
We all go to office supply stores because we have to. We need stuff for work or for school or whatever. But you don't...
I go to office supply stores when I don't have to. There's an office supply... My Staples is next to my Safeway. When I go grocery shopping at the Safeway, almost every time I also go to the Staples just to see what's new.
Sure.
What?
That's a twofer right there.
What's new? Oh, my God.
Since 2 days ago when you bought groceries?
I love going to Staples. I love it so much. And I don't know. I mean, I assume it's for the same reason Ralph does, which is just, I think in your mind, you're projecting as to how organized you're going to be and how smoothly your life is going to run once you have the right supplies on your desk in front of you.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's a big part of it. I was thinking about this because I knew we were going to have this conversation today. I was trying to think where my initial love of office supply stuff came from. And I think it's because when I was a little kid, sometimes my dad would have to do work on the weekends or go to the office on the weekends. And he would take me with him. And while he was working, I got to get, like, steal stuff. Not steal stuff, but take stuff home. Like manila folders for files and things and pads of paper and pens and Post-it notes and and markers and highlighters and things. And
it's sad that little Ralph was happy about that.
It's awesome stuff. And I've always had my own little office at home ever since I was a kid. And I've just...
You had your own little office?
What? I did. I would like to organize things and put papers in files and keep track of things. And it's just awesome to have that part of your world. I mean, don't you have an office at home?
It's a mess.
Oh, see, that's not mine, is it? I've got drawers with files in it and stuff and papers.
Maybe that's
and
why
things.
I don't love it, is because I'm not that organized.
I've never had an office.
I don't care.
Kitchen table.
And now you go to a Staples and there's just a whole world of things, many things you didn't even know existed until you peruse the aisles of a high quality office supply store.
I'm like that with an electronics store. If it's Fry's Electronics or Best Buy or something like that, I'll go check out, you know, the new stereo equipment, whatever, new TVs. But supplies, huh?
I'm like that at Sephora.
But it's not just paper and pens and
things.
I'm
like that at Sephora, too, by the way.
Moisturizers are amazing.
Oh, do I love a new moisturizer.
Oh, tell me about it. Look at that. There's a new lip balm, and it's made from beeswax.
So, Bean and Ralph will peruse an office supply store hours.
Look at that. A mail scale, and it's so affordable. I don't have a mail scale.
Oh my God.
I know exactly how much postage I need for my mail when I mail, like when I'm doing eBay and stuff.
But could I
and
suggest-
I'm sending something out. I know exactly how much to charge people
could
for
I
postage.
Could I suggest to you that you didn't need that your whole life? Why do you need
it
now?
I did, but I didn't know I needed it.
Oh, I see.
And, look at all these laser pointers they have. I don't have one laser pointer.
But
and
you don't
30
need
to
laser
choose
pointers.
From. Now I have one, and I found out I did need it. And they've got everything there.
Bean, are you the same? You discover things that you didn't know you needed?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you the area that really is a surprise to me is the area with storage boxes little bins and cabinets and things like that. I mean, I have so many, awesome little, round plastic things that have cool lids on them and stuff. You can keep all of your stuff, and it just keeps everything so neat.
You have round plastic things with lids?
Yes, I do.
What are these things you speak of?
Well, that is exciting. I didn't realize that.
I knew you were a Tupperware lady.
But I've replaced my tape dispenser four times, by the way, because I keep finding one that looks cooler than the one that I have.
How cool does your tape dispenser need to be?
There's something about them, the way they design them. I don't know. They're just awesome. They're just fun to be around. You're excited to sit down and pay your bills because you've got the right paper, you've got the awesome envelopes, you've got the right, the right
awesome
markers.
Envelopes.
It's super fun. That's all. It's just fun.
I bet I've got some badass plastic coated black paper clips now.
Right.
That just rock.
How badass can a paper clip be?
Because you get your average BS boring silver paper clips, but I've got plastic coated black ones.
Right. Okay.
Oh, come on.
So I like the red ones better.
No, black rocks. Black is gangsta. I've got gangsta paper clips.
You don't. There's no such thing as a gangsta.
They're paper clips, too. No, gangsta paper clips.
I see a Kevin Bean singles party.
I'd rather die.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Office Supply Nerd Show at 6:55.
Jennifer writes in, and by the way, please remember that all Jennifers are hot.
Right.
I love office supplies so hard that I banged our Staples rep at my old job. He took me to a couple Lakers games at Staples Center, too, and I even got tons of awesome samples of products that were up and coming. Office supplies rock my socks, says Jennifer.
Jeez.
See?
What the hell's going on with her? I guarantee you that office supply rep, that's the only time that it's ever happened that he's met an office supply groupie, and he got some because he brings Post-it notes.
And he'll be telling that story for 30 years.
Yeah. I'm in a...
Knows me.
I'm in a pretty sexy business. Chicks dig office supplies. This one time.
Jennifer, you're doing the right things. Thanks so much for writing in. We'll talk Dodgers and why you can't see them on most of your TVs coming up after the top of the hour. First, their time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Here's Ralph.
Judy Greer's in the other room.
Oh, I love her so much.
She's just the best.
She is the best.
She's the best.
She is. She's America's sweetheart, by the way.
I just love her. And, of course, she's a brand-new bride. She married that hamster in that ball. I was glad to see that. I hope they're very happy. And they've got, a 40-year-old kid already. And there's animated butterflies at their brunch table. It's just very weird.
It may just be a commercial.
Very weird world she lives in. But Andrew Dice Clay as a hamster. Never ceases to amaze me. Daddy likes his brunch. I want to see that show. I don't want that to be a commercial. I want that to be a television program. I want that to be a sitcom that I can tune in with those people each and every week.
I like it.
All right, let's talk about the new movies at the box office this weekend. And who went to see what? Captain America, The Winter Soldier, $26.6 million. Once again, number one. That's a great damn movie.
That is a good movie.
I sure liked it. You know, Kevin Smith and I were talking about it down there at WonderCon yesterday, or Saturday rather, when we were down there. And we were saying that Captain America is the movie Superman should have been, the new Superman, the Man of Steel movie.
Yeah.
It's like he's everything they complain about, saying, well, it's hard to make a movie now with Superman because he's such a Boy Scout and nobody really wants to see a movie about a good guy who's got principles and morals and everything. But Captain America totally is that guy.
Yeah, that's true.
He does the right thing at all times because he believes in truth, justice, and the American way. It's a very entertaining film. $26.6 million, number one. Rio 2 was second. Heaven is for Real. Was third at the box office. That was the big surprise of the weekend. People went to see a film about a kid who knows people in heaven.
Died,
came back, knew the whole lay of the land of what goes on after you die. I guess the reason that was number three at the box office is people have an endless curiosity / fascination / need to know what happens when the lights go out, right?
Sure.
And it was Easter weekend, so sure. A lot of religious people looking for things to do.
God Squad was out.
The thing that amazed me most that I don't think is getting enough play on this story about this Heaven is Real movie is the kid who actually died, who the story is based on, is named Colton Burpo. And I feel like that should be more of a thing.
That should be out there more.
Is that more important than the fact that he speaks to dead people?
His name is Colton Burpo. Like, how do we just accept that that's okay?
I'm with Beat on this one.
You're a weird,
it's a nonsense
dude.
Name.
They should have called the movie Colton Burpo.
Yep.
It would have been number one at the box office instead of number three.
Exactly.
Transcendence was fourth. The new Johnny Depp film debuted with just $11 million. Surprising a lot of people. A Haunted House 2 was fifth at the box office. Less said about that, the better. Draft Day, Divergent, Oculus, Noah, and God's Not Dead. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Big controversy over the weekend. Lindsay Lohan revealed that while she was filming her reality show for Oprah Winfrey, that she had a miscarriage. Had to take a couple weeks off from shooting because she was going through that horrible event. No word on who the father of her fantasy child was. Who knows? Who knows? She's telling the truth. She's looking for attention. It's hard to tell with her.
Yeah.
I'd like to give her the benefit of the doubt. And, of course, anyone who's gone through that horrible experience knows it's a nightmare. And my heart goes out to her. But she's just
it's
not trustworthy.
Trust.
She's
yeah.
not trustworthy.
I agree.
That's the thing. More tragic pregnancy news. Tila Tequila has announced that she is pregnant.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
That's beyond horrifying.
No!
Because she's insane.
Yes.
And she's a Nazi.
Yep.
And there's a lot of reasons why she should not be allowed to have children.
Pretty narcissistic.
All bad things wrapped up in a small package is Tila Tequila. And the fact that some child is going to be dependent upon her for their very lives,
yeah,
that's terrifying to me.
Yeah. They're going to take that kid away from her before the kid is 6 months old, I predict.
Well, they should.
They'll be waiting in the delivery room.
They really should. They should have a court order and a SWAT team.
Team 6.
I'm not joking here because, you know, it's an entertainment story. I think she's crazy.
I do, too. And
I mean, mentally, I think she's got problems.
It terrifies me that there's going to be a little child who is going to need her to take care of it. It's just, it's beyond comprehension that she'll be able to do that in any sort of satisfactory way.
That bitch is crazy.
Well, yeah, there's that, too. And lastly, Kendall Jenner apparently is trying to shame her mother sober. Apparently, Kris Jenner is just hitting the bottle constantly these days. And Kendall and Kylie, her two daughters with Bruce Jenner, feel the only way they can get their mom to stop drinking is to tweet the thing she says while she's drunk. According to Star Magazine, they believe that will shame her into taking a good look at her drinking problem, which is hilarious. The fact that they think that Kris Jenner could possibly feel shame about anything. They don't. They know their mother less than we do. If they think that shame has she's ever any sort of passing relationship with shame whatsoever. Did you think if she felt ashamed about anything, everything would be different right now?
Yeah, very much so.
Today's celebrity birthdays, James McAvoy. He is 35 years old today. He is the star of the upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past, where he plays young Charles Xavier of the X-Men. Patrick Stewart, of course, famously plays him older. McAvoy got his chance to play Professor X in First Class, of course, X-Men First Class. And I was at WonderCon this weekend, and I was talking to Simon Kinberg, producer of the film, and he told me that James McAvoy's first day on the set of this new film, X-Men Days of Future Past, he had to shoot the scene where young Xavier confronts older Xavier, and they had to do a scene together face-to-face, and he had never met Patrick Stewart before.
Oh, no kidding.
And they're face-to-face at sitting at this table, practically nose-to-nose, in this time travel moment where they cross paths. And I said, can you imagine walking on the set and Patrick Stewart's there and that's your first day of work as you have to go toe-to-toe with that guy?
No.
That's impressive.
Can't imagine that.
James McAvoy's 35 years old today. Rob Riggle's 44. Robert Smith of The Cure is 55. Andy McDowell turns 56 today. Tony Danza's 63. Iggy Pop, he's 67 years old today. He could use a sandwich, Iggy.
Yes, he could.
He's
10.
And
or just put on a shirt.
That's an option, too. And the voice of the Clippers, Ralph Lawler.
Well, the thrill is mine, Mr. Kevin and Mr. Bean.
Celebrates his 76th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Keep listening for your chance to win tickets in the fifth row for the Arcade Fire when they play the Forum. And you're also in a drawing. We're going to give you a, frankly, it's too much for you. I feel like it might be overwhelming. We're going to give you a dressing room. You get to present the show. You
what?
And nine friends.
What?
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Kind of amazing.
It's absurd.
By the way, there's so many people in Arcade Fire that you could almost just stay with the band. Like when they leave the stage and go to the bus, you could just go with them. And they probably wouldn't even notice for like 4 months. Something like that.
That's probably true.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful, talented, awesome Judy Greer joins us in studio next. First, though,
it's time for Dodger Baseball.
Not so fast. It's only time for Dodger Baseball if you're either at the stadium or you have Sportsnet LA, which is on Time Warner, but nowhere else, as far as I understand. What's going on with this? We're pretty far into the season to still not have Dodger games available for everybody who wants to watch them. Chris Erskine is on the line. He's a writer of the Fan of the House column for the Los Angeles Times. Hi, Chris. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Very good.
Well,
thank
we're
you.
Doing fine. Is this right that 7 out of 10 viewers in LA are unable to see their professional baseball team on television?
That's right. That's right. And the Dodgers are having a great season so far. We thought this would be over by now, didn't we? I mean,
yes.
This is sort of par for the course. You know, they have these new agreements, these new TV deals, and for a while you can't get them, and everybody, there's bickering back and forth, and everybody's pointing fingers, but then they sort of resolve it, and this one they haven't yet, and everybody's like, well, how long is this going to last?
Does it rub you the wrong way like it does me that they literally are using the fans of the team as leverage?
Yeah, as pawns.
Right.
That's not playing out really well, I got to say. The fans, you know, They want you to call your cable provider and complain and all this kind of. The fans are like, no, that's your job. You work this out. I'm tired of this. I don't want to be a pawn in this whole thing. It's like corporate greed has jumped the shark, and everybody's just feels betrayed. I think that's the sense of betrayal on this thing.
Now, the Dodgers did this because they stood to make a lot of money from the deal that they cut, right? And they will claim that it's
$3 billion.
Wow. So,
yeah, they got teary-eyed over that. You know.
But they will claim, hey, we're doing that to field a better team, right? I mean, that's their side of the story.
Absolutely. To compete these days, you have to nab these you know, exorbitant contracts. You got to have to go after the big money to compete and to pay guys like Kershaw and Puig and Kemp, you know. So it's like they're, you know, they're in kind of a tough situation because they got to compete, and they got to put they have the highest payroll in sports history.
Wow.
And to do that, they had to sign this deal, and that's why Guggenheim bought the Dodgers, because of this, the potential of the TV games. Well, now they didn't foresee these cable providers balking at the price, because not everybody wants Dodger baseball. And so, you know, so there's two groups of customers for cable companies: those who want it desperately, and those who don't want it at all. And so that's sort of where the standstill is right now.
Chris, we've got a guy who works on our show, Beer Mug, and his mom is a longtime, lifelong Dodgers fan. Muggs, how did she wrestle with this decision, and what did she end up doing?
She held out. She held out as long as she could. Probably about 10 games into the season, she got Time Warner.
Did she, yeah.
Which is what they won.
But the problem is not everybody can get Time Warner.
Right.
So even if you're ready to bite the bullet and go, okay, I'm going to switch over, I'm going to go through all that hassle and do that, everybody doesn't have that option. So that's where the frustration is.
Why do you think this is different than the Lakers, for example, did the exact same thing, didn't they?
Yeah. The Lakers had the same situation. I think there was more protests with the Lakers, actually. I think fans were more furious about it. It's a shorter season and everything else. This one is sort of, you know, baseball plays out. It's a long season, and everyone goes, oh, they'll solve this soon enough. You know, who cares about April baseball anyway? The games don't mean anything at this point.
Well, there are 1,000 games in a regular season for Major League Baseball.
2,000, actually, but yeah.
By the way, I take exception, as a baseball fan, I take exception to the games don't mean anything in April, because when you miss the playoffs by one game in October, you're going to wish you'd won a game back in April. So they may not mean anything now, but they might later on. So let's keep
that
straight.
That's so true. True. You know, the baseball fans know that. And you know, here's the other thing they're missing. Vin Scully. Ever heard of that guy?
Yeah. Yes. And it's
last season. It's like taking the brushes away from Rembrandt. You know, it's this guy is so great. And people are going, this could be his last season. So every game is precious to them. And that makes them even more frustrated and upset.
Chris, let me ask you this, and this is if you're just joining us. This is the voice of Chris Erskine from the Los Angeles Times on the Kevin DeBean Show. He writes the Fan of the House column. We're talking about why you can't see the Dodgers, probably. You mentioned there was more fan outcry over the Lakers, and you talked in your article about one rally that you attended that they were hoping for 400 Dodger fans there with signs. They got 40. Why do you suppose Dodger fans are slow to mobilize on this?
Well, that was just my lack of organizational skill. I think once we get it out, and we did get it out in print the other day, and I've had people just emailing me constantly saying, when's the next one? When's the next one? I didn't know about this. I would have been there. So with social media and everything else, I think the next one will be 400, and the one after that will be 4,000. I mean, I'm hoping the whole thing ends tomorrow.
Right.
And we don't have to do anything more. I mean, that would be the ideal situation. But, you know, fans are frustrated, and they want to do something, and they want to show their frustration. And so we'll do, you know, we can do boycotts. We can do pickets at the gates. We can do all sorts of different things. So we're ready to do that if we need to. It puts me in kind of a weird position as a journalist, but this is advocacy journalism, and we got to sort of help because the fans have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go. There's nobody leading this kind of thing. So we're trying to get it going, and I think once fans know about it, it'll just snowball.
All right, last question for you, and you addressed this in your article, but I want our listeners to hear it too. Should the commissioner of baseball, Bud Selig, be involved in this dispute?
I think so. You know, they talk about the good of the game. He always makes these decisions, and then he talks about the good of the game. And I mean, this is a huge baseball market with fans who go back generations. I think he should step in at this point, or if not, appoint somebody for arbitration. I think arbitration at this point is justified.
You can read the Fan of the House column at LATimes.com or in the paper. Follow Chris on Twitter at Erskine Times. Hey, great talking to you, man. Good luck with the cause.
Hey, guys. Take care. Thanks so much.
So, Judy Greer, so you're talking to Ralph. You're talking to me. You're not talking to Kevin?
No. What? I'm mad at him.
Many of us here in this room love Judy Greer more than we can say.
Wait, what happened? I love you.
Well, I just was driving here today listening to all this talk about Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah.
And it turns out that she got picked over me.
Yeah. By Bean.
No, by you.
What are you talking about? Judy's one of the few guests who can actually distinguish between you two. That's why you're in trouble, Kevin.
I heard the whole thing in my car, and I.
Why do you hurt people's feelings, Kevin? Come on.
I can't totally say that I blame him. That's the only problem.
I blame him.
Look, I'm excited.
Hot.
I'm excited that Brooklyn is joining us next hour. I really am. But Judy, you are the bomb. Aww. Seriously.
Apparently, you're from 1985 too. You're the bomb.
You are the bomb. I do need to upgrade my vocabulary,
I
guess.
Am I the bomb diggity or just the bomb?
I'd say the bomb diggity.
I'd throw some diggity at you. Sure.
The beautiful Miss Judy Greer is here, who you know from everything. 27 dresses, 13 going on 30, Arrested Development, Archer. Apparently not Bridesmaids, though, as all of the people who meet you on the street believe you were in that movie. And Judy is here because she has written a book hilariously titled, I Don't Know What You Know Me From. which is a great title and really is your life, right, Judy?
Yes, it is. It's my life, and I'm now learning the life of many other actors in my position. I've been working with a lot of people lately that are like, oh, yes, totally. It's totally my problem.
So you've done so many different projects. People recognize you.
And
then do they make you tell them, like, where do I know you from?
Oh,
do they,
yes.
Yeah, yes. So then you have to start giving them your bio?
Yes, that becomes my problem. this becomes a problem I have to solve in like 3 minutes or less.
You should carry around copies of your IMDb page and just hand them out to people when they come up to you
like
randomly.
A business card. I know. And or I could just like
find it,
program it in their smartphone, assuming they have one.
Yeah. Have you ever just run out of them? Just no? No?
Yeah,
what else?
Yeah. I had
I
recently had an experience with the customs guy when I was coming. I was going from Toronto into JFK, and the officer, the customs officer, was holding onto my passport. And he was not going to give it to me until I, like, proved myself. I was like, it was 10 p.m. I've been working all day. I was like, I just want to go to my hotel and go to bed. His name was Bill. He was very kind, but he was like, no. And I'll tell you right now, I don't watch TV and I don't watch movies. And I'm like, Bill, I don't know how to help you. I don't. But now, you know what I just remembered is that I could probably say the weird Sprint commercials that I'm in because Bill does watch sports and they do.
Yeah. Ah, there you go.
I should have thought of that, but I was real tired.
Yeah.
Congratulations on marrying a hamster, too, by the way.
Yeah.
We wanted to thank you for that.
That is great news.
Judy, did you have to be talked into writing a book, or was this your idea?
Well, it was something I really wanted to do. I just kind of needed a little push from the book agent that she was sort of watching a bunch of my stuff and thought I was funny and that I might have some stories to tell. And so I thought, I will try it. I wrote the proposal first to see if this was something I could do, and then we sold it. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it.
I bought the book on Saturday and thought I would do due diligence and read a couple of chapters since you were coming in. I ended up reading the whole damn book yesterday. It's so funny, and it so sounds like your voice. I mean, I sense there was no ghostwriter involved. I sense your every word of this thing.
No, it's 100% me. I have an awesome editor, Christina Malik, I must say her name. She's the best, but I did write everything myself, and I did sort of write it out loud.
What does that mean?
Like, I had to say everything out loud while I wrote. I did go to...
How annoying it must be to live with you.
It is
Judy's
annoying
writing
to live
again.
With me.
So anyway, there I was. Set. Shut up! Fucking television!
It's annoying to live with me for other reasons, for sure. I would write everything first, like in a public place, but then when I would go home to edit, I would have to say it all out loud.
That's funny. How come you almost blew up your computer? You didn't explain why that you kept having to go back to the Genius Bar. What went wrong?
Read the acknowledgments.
I read every word, baby.
Who reads the acknowledgments?
You. They're funny. I tried to make them interesting. Well, one time I almost set my computer on fire because I had a candle burning and the laptop was like tilted a little too far towards the candle, and I was like writing away and I wasn't even thinking, and my husband came in, he's like, something smells weird. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And then he was right, my computer was on fire.
I feel like living with Judy would be like being in a sitcom, don't you?
Yeah. Judy, you got lots of explaining to do.
We have to take a break here, but I have to ask you this first, because I was up all night thinking about how crazy this story is, Judy. You talked about how, and I don't bring this story up just because it involves your boobs, but you talk about how your mother, listen to this, you guys, Judy's mom got shot in the chest when she was 11 years old by her 4-year-old brother, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Survived, big scar on her chest. What happened after that, Judy?
I have a scar on my chest in the same place. You mean, is that what you were getting at?
How? What? Why?
I got a sound effect.
Wait, how? You were born with a mark on your chest in the same location that your mother had a scar from a gunshot?
I can't say I was born with it, but it is there. And I, you know, when you're a little kid, I didn't check out my own boobs that much. But then as I got older, I was checking them out more often because they were just not growing. and I noticed that little scar, and I did show it to my mom a few years ago. And
Is it sort of in the same shape?
It's the same scar.
What?
It's like
Isn't
a
that
little... It's
wild?
Not, it's not huge. It's a bullet. It's like a bullet wound scar. It's tiny, and
I could show you, but then that would probably be cheating on my husband. But, or we could do a movie about it, and then I could show you.
Then it would be fine.
Paid. Yeah, totally right. Different. Sure. So, yeah.
What if we just pay you now and say we're making a movie? We'll take the top off.
What if we just make it rain? Is that cool?
Done.
The book How weird called... a sympathy scar.
I know.
It is so weird. It's so weird. The book is called I Don't Know What You Know Me From. It is very, very funny. It's written by Judy Greer, our guest here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. Kevin will have to leave the room, and then we'll come back. And us friends, we'll talk more after this on K-Rock. I Don't Know What You Know Me From. Judy Greer is the author. She is in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Judy.
Oh, I'm totally in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
And you're going to be in Tomorrowland and Jurassic World. You're going to end up being a movie star after all.
I think I'm still going to be a movie co-star, but I'm okay with that because these roles are so awesome and these projects are so huge. And I remember a couple years ago saying to my agent, like, I kind of want to be in like a really big budget movie. Do you think that like I could try to do that? And then boom, I got in three huge budget movies.
I was talking to Judy a little bit about WonderCon this weekend, and I told her I saw some footage from Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which looks brilliant, by the way, amazing.
Yeah.
And she was saying she hadn't seen anything yet. She hadn't seen any of
really?
The footage.
No, I saw one on set. They showed me a rendering of my Cornelia, the role that I play. I saw a picture of her, and they gave her more of like a feminine hairdo. It was so cute.
Judy's an ape.
An ape. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I'm playing an ape. Yeah. And they like tried to give her. It's so cute. I don't know if this is what they went with, but they gave her sort of like a little page boy. She has like an ape, like a little ape page boy. I was like, oh my god.
And earrings and lipstick, right?
Sure. Well, yeah.
Those apes have the cutest haircuts.
Before you came in, Kevin was saying how you could only play an ape in those movies.
How dare you?
He was saying.
Really?
I was so surprised.
How dare you?
On this topic, Judy, to read in the book that you go out for tons of roles that you don't get because you're always working. It seems like a month doesn't go by that you're not in something, but you said that you don't get five jobs for every one you do, and that was a shock to me.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, in the last year, I haven't had time to try to get other parts, but yeah, but it's okay. I mean, sometimes it's like, if I don't get a job, maybe I shouldn't get the job. Maybe I'm not right for it, you know?
It sort of feels like to those of us that are not in the industry, it sort of feels like once you've either made it or you haven't made it. And
yeah.
The people who haven't made it get rejected a lot.
Yes.
The people who have made it rarely get rejected. And that's just not
– That's not true. And
not
I can tell you, I'm not going to name drop, but there's some super famous people I know who still audition and they tell me about it.
What
and
are their
like,
names?
Yeah, well, right. and like I was shocked to hear that. Like,
right.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, you had to audition for that? Really? Because I always just think it's me. Everyone thinks it's someone else.
But it's a combination. You probably get offers, too, for stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
usually
and more
it's
so
probably
lately.
Crappy stuff, but you get offers for stuff.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's awesome stuff.
That's awesome.
I just got offered a movie, and I'd worked with these guys before with Lily Tomlin. So, I mean, I get to work with one of my heroes, and that was an offer, and that was a dream come true. So that's pretty cool.
I was also interested in your book, Judy, how you talk about how, in some ways, I feel like you think maybe it's better to be at your level than to be at the level where you have to constantly deal with tabloids and paparazzi and gossip and everything else. I mean, you're under the radar enough that you can live a sort of normal life, right?
Yeah, I live a really normal life. It's like super normal. I mean, I just went to the 7-Eleven and got a coffee and like it was just me and the guy before me in line buying some lottery tickets, which I thought was interesting for a Monday morning, but I don't know. I always think of buying lottery tickets on Friday after work, but I don't know. Maybe Monday's his Friday. I don't know his schedule, to be honest.
How did we end up talking about him?
I don't know. He seems more fun than me. His life is more interesting.
Yeah, but if you were a bigger star, then at least people would know exactly where they knew you from, which would be a little bit of a relief.
But
then there's no book.
Yes, then
that's true.
So maybe the next book will be like, you do know what you know me from. Yeah.
I know exactly where you know me from.
Let me tell you something else I learned about Judy from the book, you guys. Uh-oh. And that is that she met her husband on an actual honest-to-goodness blind date.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't you be amazed if you went on a blind date and it was TV's Judy Greer opening the door? Wouldn't that just be a shock?
But you wouldn't know if it was TV's or movies or what.
I know her from somewhere.
I've seen you before.
Well, the truth is, it was blind for me. He did look me up on the internet.
Ah.
And then he tried to
Well, that's
send
sort
me...
of unfair. Did you know his name and just not do it? Or did
he
you...
offered, because I don't have Facebook, so he was like, if you have Facebook, we could, and you could see a picture of me. And I was like, I had already been talking on the phone with him for like a week at this point, and I felt...
Because of your phone sex job?
Yeah. That's how we met. So he was like, I'll just email you a picture of me. And I was like, that's so weird, because then, like, I don't know, what if the picture comes and it's weird, and then I'm like, everything changes, and right. I know I'm like not that good of an actress. Like, he'll be able to tell the tone in my voice. So I was like, no, don't do it. So when I opened the door on our first date, there he was. I had never seen him before, and I was getting ready for the date, and I was wearing jeans and a cute blouse, like you do. And I was like, oh crap, do I wear flats or heels? Like, I don't even know. I'm kind of tall for a lady, so yeah. I was like, I don't know what to do. I had my high-heeled boots on when the door, when he knocked. I don't have a doorbell. It's broken, and it has been forever. But anyway, when
I feel like that's an unneeded tangent.
Sorry.
Well, then you're going to love the book.
When he was tall.
Chapter 2, doorbells.
Things that are broken at my house that I haven't gotten fixed.
Do you think the guy at the 7-Eleven with the lottery tickets has a doorbell, Gene?
I do. I feel like he probably does. Damn him. I'm so jealous.
So was he taller than you or shorter than you?
Tall. He was tall.
There you go. There's the ending of the story.
Tell the kids who haven't read the book what it was like for you to have an instant family too. So you start dating this guy, you end up marrying this guy. Now all of a sudden you have teenagers. Like, out of nowhere, you didn't raise any kids, but now you've got teenagers. Was that horrifying, terrifying?
It was really scary because I've always been afraid of teenagers. Even when I was a teenager, they've freaked me out, and I didn't know. I just didn't know. I tried, like, I went in like really intensely with the Twilight with his daughter, because she was, I think, 12 or 13 when I met her, and I was like, this is my jam, because I watch Gossip Girl, I read all the Twilight books, I'm really into YA, like, that is gonna, but she wasn't yet. So then, and then my stepson is obsessed with sports. Yeah, nothing there.
Nothing,
I don't know.
Right?
Like, I'm like, I used to go to Red Wings games.
Curse you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But, I mean, I don't know if we ever gave up 7 goals. What? I'm not
sure.
I don't know if that ever happened in Detroit.
Now, Kevin, you are not going to come back from that.
I'm not. Now, Kevin has a scar on his chest right here.
I'm not even going to try.
That was for the win, Judy.
Thank you.
That was pretty sweet.
Wow.
Damn it.
Wow. I feel like we need to let that reverberate a little bit.
He that won't even look at me now.
That was powerful.
That was painful.
Kevin, you got a little blood right here. You got a little blood right here, buddy. You got tagged. Yeah, right there.
That was the widow maker right there, man.
That was a haymaker, yep.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
That one came out of nowhere and hit me right
sweet,
on the button.
Sweet, quirky exterior hides the heart of an assassin.
Wow, that was hurt.
It's okay. Sorry. We'll move on. Step parenting, yes. Really
So what
challenging.
Do you do with the boy who's a sports nut? How do you connect with him?
You just watch everything he does. You go to all the games. That's what I learned. You kind of do just have to show up. So I went to all of his games. I went to all of her soccer games. And if you just hang out long enough, like...
Did you ever get, you're not my mom?
Yeah, I'm hoping. Not yet. I'm not ruling it out. But no, the hard thing I found harder than the sports and is the feeding of the children. I did have a hard time figuring out how to feed 4 people at one time. That I had never.
Yeah, when you've been just cooking for yourself.
Do you cook for yourself? Like,
barely.
No, you assemble
you
for yourself.
Yeah.
I know. I've assembled food for one for my whole life. And
can't
then all
you
of
just
sudden,
assemble 4 times as much?
I know. It would seem that way, but there's things that they eat that I don't eat and vice versa. And then I was like a vegetarian when I met them. Now I'm like all meat all the time. If you can't beat them, join them. I was like, all right, you know what? I'll be a vegetarian when they go to college. We'll just circle back to that
just get back
later.
To that later. Yeah.
So you're actually a grown-up adult now, Judy, it sounds like.
I am. Yes, I am. I have kids and a husband and houses and a job. I paid my taxes on time.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Nicely
I
done.
Put it in the mailbox, right?
Like at 11.
That's how that works, Judy. Yes.
Like at 11:59.
I was on set working. wedding, and everyone was like, I thought it was the 13th, and everyone was like, oh, something the 14th, and I was like, what? What? I need to go. I have to go. I have to go now. Like, I totally was a day off, but I did it. I got it in.
You know, it's the 15th, right?
No, yeah, but the okay. 14th is when I had to, you know.
Assemble.
Well, no, I thought I had another day.
Oh, yes. I see.
The taxes, I knew the taxes were due on the 15th. Okay. I just thought it was the 13th, but it wasn't.
Well, you have you have made many wonderful choices, and I'm so happy that things are going so well for you, Dee. And the book
is hilarious. Thank
you. I cannot recommend it enough to people. If you like Judy, you will love, love, love this book. Congratulations. Please come back and see us again.
I promise.
I'd rather you didn't. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Brooklyn Decker is here and joins us next right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Don't forget more tickets for Arcade Fire between 8 and 9 on The Kevin and Bean Show as well. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning. I was just talking to Brooklyn in the other room. She said she's working on very little sleep.
Oh, good.
Because she was up all night reading a book. She might be too smart for us.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, just saying.
That's not good.
It's not good at all. She's one of those book readers.
Well, reading is for losers. That's our policy.
That's always been our policy, yeah. If she had said, you know, watching TV or something, I could understand
yeah,
it. Read the
right.
book.
Something to work with.
I'm at loss. All right, let's talk about show business news. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what America went to see at their local Cineplexes. Captain America the Winter Soldier, still number one. $26.6 million. So, Rio 2 was second with $22.5 million. Then Heaven is for Real. Transcendence, A Haunted House 2. So it rounds out the top five. Then Draft Day, Divergent, Oculus, Noah, and God's Not Dead. Those are all your top 10 movies. It's a weird batch.
It is a weird batch.
Out loud. Something, something for everybody in there. Gwen Stefani, it has been announced, is taking over for Christina Aguilera next season on NBC's The Voice. Boy, that's a big get for them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Perfect choice, and The Voice once again proves itself as the new champion of reality competition programming.
She's super likable,
yeah.
talented.
And the show's just good. I mean, Carson's great as the host, and the contestants I get are all seem like genuinely nice people. The dynamic, the actual structure of the show is better than American Idol. American Idol should just pack it in.
Who would have ever guessed that
there'd be another singing reality show that would eclipse that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because it used to just be the king, and there was no other show like that.
Neil Patrick Harris stars in a new Broadway production right now. It's in New York called Hedwig, and the Angry Inch, based on the cult classic film. And it's hard to be a star on Broadway and be a star, you know? You know what I'm saying?
It's
you can star in something on Broadway, which is hard enough, but if you're a movie star or a TV star and then you go in to do a Broadway show, sometimes you get yahoos in the audience that are not wise in the ways of theater.
Ah.
Like they start talking to you when you're on stage performing.
Really?
That would be a drawback,
I
right?
I would think so,
wouldn't that
yeah.
be a little annoying?
Yes.
He was doing a performance this weekend, and a woman in the audience yelled out, "We love you, Neil!" Like she's at a concert.
Huh.
Staying in character. Neil Patrick Harris said, "Who's Neil? I'm not Neil." And then looked over at another actor on stage and said, "Are you Neil? You better not be Neil." And then as Hedwig responded to the woman by shouting out, "I'm doing something up here, mother effer." And apparently the audience went crazy and loved it and started to cheer. So, woman dealt with.
Love it.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Queen Elizabeth II, Kevin, is 88 years old today.
Shut up, Bean.
I was informed that I was forgetting about Queen Elizabeth's birthday today.
Great.
So.
Yeah.
Does the Queen have a comment, Kevin?
Hopefully it's my last.
Oh, snap.
How dare you?
You know how Bean loves the Queen.
Yeah, it's absurd. Stupid, dumb, absurd.
Voice of the Clippers, Ralph Lawler, is 76 years old today. Singer Iggy Pop of the legendary Stooges is 67. It was Larry, Curly, and Iggy, right? Those were the original
Stooges. I believe
Stooges. So. That's what I'm trying to think. Tony Danza, 63 years old. Andy McDowell is 56. Robert Smith of The Cure celebrates his 55th birthday. Rob Riggle's 44. James McAvoy, very talented young actor, 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Friends with Better Lives is the name of the show. It airs Monday nights at 8:30 on CBS. Brooklyn Decker, one of the stars of the show, is here with us. And Brooklyn, you guys call it what? Fwibbly? Is that how we should be calling it?
Fwibble. Hashtag FWBL. So we call it Fwibble.
Fwibble is the show. You should have just gone with that.
I know. That's what I think. That's what we call it to our friends. We say Fwibble.
I love it. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you?
You got yourself a primetime network sitcom right now.
Yes.
This acting thing is working out for you.
So far, so good. I've been very, very lucky. Yes.
I was very surprised in seeing some of the publicity you've been doing leading up to the debut of this show that you were never all that keen on being a model, although you were great at it. Being an actress is what you really wanted to do, right?
Well, yeah. It's the worst kept secret ever, but I actually didn't work that much as a model. I had the clients that I did have were really wonderful, like Sports Illustrated, and that's a huge deal, obviously, but I didn't actually work that much. So, you know, when you're not that successful at something, you kind of don't enjoy it very much. It was that kind of situation. So the work, unfortunately, was far and few between for me at the time. And luckily I got to study acting in the meantime.
But that has to be so shocking to people when you tell them that, because people think about you. I mean, you're one of the biggest names ever in modeling, and it's just a shock to us to hear you say that you didn't really work that much.
Well, yeah, I didn't. You know, I was very lucky to have a few really great people that I worked with. And again, Sports Illustrated is one of the biggest names and creates names for girls, and they've always done a really great job of that. But really, other than them, I didn't work that often. So yeah, it is. I think I was in the wrong business at the wrong time. You know, it's all a timing thing with
that. Do you think there was a lack of interest in your part as well? To model or no?
I think so.
I never loved it.
I love the travel. The people I worked with are incredible. I had just moved from North Carolina at 18 years old. Didn't have a passport, had never left the country. And so when I started modeling, it was an incredible opportunity to see the world. I met incredible people, really artistic, creative people, and that some are still my friends to this day. But the job itself was something that just didn't gel with me very well. There's no other way to explain it. We just weren't a good fit for each other.
Kevin, you know what it's like when you just looked at like a piece of meat. I mean, that's been the story of your adult life, right?
Modeling can be difficult.
It's really hard work, guys.
So how tough is it to go from you are known as a model and then you decide you want to be an actress? Were there a lot of people who automatically wrote you off as, hey, she can't possibly be good at one thing because she was good at another thing? Did you find some resistance to getting into acting from the beginning?
I did, and I do, but at the same time, I'm not ever going to complain about that, because the name I had established for myself in modeling is also what opened doors for me. I mean, if I hadn't had some success with Sports Illustrated specifically, there's no way I would have been able to take some of these meetings that I took. I mean, frankly, that sounds terrible and it's completely superficial, but it's true. It's the reason a lot of people met with me initially. And then, you know, it's up to me to get the job and maintain a job. But I think it was met with some resistance. But again, it opened a lot of doors for me.
Do people on the set resent?
No.
Do you feel that? No, not
never.
At all.
Never. Because I think, you know, I mean, now there's so many actors out there and the audition process is pretty grueling. Right. I've had to audition for every part that I've had. And so it usually is several auditions. And so once you're there, people are respectful of the fact that you're there. They do believe that the right person was cast, luckily. So far, I've been really lucky with that.
What do you think your big break was, or the role at the time that you got? You said, okay, maybe acting is going to work out for me.
So Just Go With It was my first big break. And that was that kind of, a lot of people saw that movie. And so that was really helpful in starting out. And then right after that, I got cast in Battleship. I don't think as many people saw that movie, but but it was just a really good sign to me that I started working consistently. And then after that, I got a third movie. And so I thought, oh, okay, this is something I can do. And after I got cast in my second is when I decided to walk away from the modeling stuff.
Good for you.
Did that scare you?
Yeah, because, you know, I got the cover for Sports Illustrated. I feel like I'm bragging big time this morning. No. I'm really sorry.
We hate hearing about you being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It sucks.
No, but I got the cover that year, and then I walked away from modeling that year. So I think my agents were probably very upset with me because they finally were able to capitalize on some publicity that had come along with that, you know, accolade. And then I said, I'm leaving. And I think they were really torn up about it. So it was hard in that sense. But no, once I made that decision.
How many auditions do you have to go on to get? How many did you not make?
Several. So many. Judy was saying 5 for everyone that she gets. Mine's probably
that's pretty good,
15
right?
or 20 for oh, everyone.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What keeps people going back when they get told no 17 times in a row?
Getting the job is so great. Well, and when you're actually on set, it's so wonderful that it just, there's nothing that can compare to it.
Being a regular on a TV show, and is this the first time you've done that
yes.
with the new show? Okay. That's a whole different level of now I've made it in showbiz, right? Because you got a regular job that you know you're going to have again next week. And the week after that, you're working with the same people. And it becomes familiar and easier, I would imagine.
It's very exciting that you actually have consistency. It's like it's as normal a job as you can have in this crazy business because
right.
it's not a 9-to-5 schedule. It's a pretty crazy schedule. But you go to work every day with the same people. They see the good days. They see the bad days. You actually develop relationships and sort of this familial existence with these people. And I feel like, I don't know, that for me, I really like consistency and I sort of crave that kind of normalcy. Yeah. And so
sleeping
TV,
in your own bed.
Yeah. TV life allows you to have that, which yeah. is really, I mean, aside from how much fun the job is itself, the schedule and the lifestyle that comes along with it's really nice.
I was surprised at how dirty your show is for CBS.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it goes even further than Two Broke Girls does, which is itself a pretty filthy show.
It's pretty dirty. Yeah. They are not afraid of pushing the envelope. We had standards and practices, which is an attorney for CBS that's on set every day to make sure you're not crossing the line.
Sure.
And the things that cross the line are really, really funny, the conversations that are had on the set. So I think part of it's just our producers wanting to push them and see how much they can get out of it. And part of it is it's kind of how people talk these days.
We have the same fight with the people here. It's
Do you really?
Well, it's absurd what you can say and what you can't say.
And
you know that
such
kind
a
of
fine
stuff.
Line.
Yeah, and but it's not well defined.
It's very arbitrary.
Absolutely, it
moves. Yeah. It's gray. You go. Well, I said it yesterday. It seemed to not
right.
be a problem.
Right. Absolutely. It's so strange.
It is.
It's like hand placement in one particular scene was if a hand was placed in a certain area, it was not okay. If hands were not placed in that certain area, it was okay, which is so vague and strange. And
yeah.
But it's a legal
and
thing.
How do they make that choice?
Exactly. It's very weird. Yeah.
Have you done anything on this show yet that's embarrassing to your family?
No. So
you hope to?
No. My gosh. My parents actually came to a taping, and I was hoping it was going to be a semi-decent episode for me, and it was, thank goodness. But no, my character, we meet her, and she's newly engaged, and they're kind of that couple who – it's all PDA all the time.
Yeah,
so
way too much.
There's definitely a heightened sexuality element to it, which is a little embarrassing for your parents to see.
Sure.
But other than that, it's been okay.
But the dude's annoying, so you get away with it.
He's not in real life.
No, of course.
And
but I'm saying
better.
The character.
The character's a little annoying initially, yeah. But we get to see real Lowell come undone a little bit, which is cool.
Brooklyn Decker's here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about the show called Friends with Better Lives. It's Fwibble is how you – if you want to be cool, if you want to be a Hollywood insider, say, hey, I'm watching some Fwibble tonight at 8:30 on CBS. Yeah. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Luke Robitaille, president of business operations for the Los Angeles Kings, joins us at 9 o'clock to talk about how he – single-handedly is going to dig the team out of an 0-2 hole against the Sharks. I don't know how Luke's going to do it, but I'm sure he's got a plan because he's not going to go down in the first round. I know that. Brooklyn Decker in studio with us right now, actress from Friends with Better Lives, hit comedy on CBS, Monday nights at 8:30. Brooklyn, you're a huge sports fan, right?
I am a sports fan, yes.
I saw on Twitter how you were weeping as your bracket fell apart, as most Americans were. Who are your teams? Who do you root for?
Well, I grew up in North Carolina, so I'm a big Panther fan, and I'm a big Tar Heel fan.
Boy, it's been a great time to be a Panthers fan the last couple of years.
This last year was really good. Yeah.
You sound surprised.
We're on an upswing. No, I think Cam came and kind of changed a lot. Unfortunately, we lost Steve Smith this year, which is really upsetting.
No, but I feel like the Panthers are where the Seahawks were 2 years ago, which is you could see the pieces coming together and them starting to be good enough that, hey,
yes.
maybe we could win something.
I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree. So it's exciting. And I was there, I think I was in elementary school when the franchise actually came to North Carolina. So it's really exciting to kind of see the genesis of it, then see them go to a Super Bowl and lose. I mean, that's not exciting, but it was just really neat
right.
to see them get that far.
Yeah.
And then they weren't even close to a Super Bowl for a very, very, very long time. And now they're on their way back up. So, yeah.
Speaking of sports, you've been married for 5 years to mm-hmm. an ex-professional tennis player.
Yes.
What's he do now?
He actually is an anchor on a sports show for Fox Sports Live now. So he gets to talk about sports all the time. It's every guy's dream. He's loving it.
I remember when I first saw that, I was like, that's a
strange choice, but then it's an interesting one.
Yeah,
because he is an athlete.
He's on that show with Donovan McNabb and all those guys.
Correct.
Is that the one? Oh,
that's exactly
right. Yeah, okay.
Yep. And he knows more about basketball, baseball specifically, golf and football than he does about tennis. And he knows
that's
everything
not possible.
About tennis. No, no, it's true. He's a huge, huge, huge sports fan. So for him, it was just such a natural fit to do the show.
Did you ever play tennis with him?
No. I mean, I have tried, and it was a disaster. So
no
I won't do that again.
Does he not let up
no
on
fun.
You?
No. And it's, I mean, I didn't grow up playing tennis. I had never lifted a tennis racket in my life. So all of a sudden, it's not even like I was a casual player, not very good. I didn't know how to hold a tennis racket correctly. Mm. So it was so basic that it was just an embarrassment. I will eventually take lessons from somebody other than my husband and maybe one day play with him, but not in the near future.
Why somebody other than your husband?
I don't think it's ever a good idea to have a spouse teach someone else what their field is or what their specialty is. Exactly. I don't think that's ever a good idea because you're always just going to be completely terrible compared to the person.
Yeah.
And that just – I'm way too competitive to handle that.
I think you need to take lessons on the sly, like when he's out of town. Don't tell him you're taking lessons until you're good enough to beat him.
Yeah, okay.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
All right. That's very sweet of you.
How many lives does she have?
Exactly. You were onto something, and then the beat him part. You just, crashed and burned.
Maybe that was perhaps a little bit too ambitious.
You could score a point.
That's
worth it.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. Hey, tell me about you've done. Is there a show you haven't done to promote Friends with Better Lives, by the way?
I know. They have me going all over the place. It's so much fun that I get to call this work.
But, I mean, it's hilarious because it seems like some nights you're on like two or three shows at a time. You know what I mean? Like, hey, wait a minute. How could she be on that show when she's also on that show?
That's how it feels. Yes. And that's exactly what's happening. I went to New York for 2 days and it was, I think we did 12 shows in one day, and they're kind of airing in order, out of order. So, yeah, there are two promotional things one night, one the next night. It's very weird.
Did Larry King know who you were?
I don't know. He said that he remembers sitting with me at dinner, and we were at the same table at this event years ago. But I think someone told him that before I got there.
Yeah,
I don't think he had a clue.
You have the sense that somebody's whispering stuff to Larry all day long.
Why would he care? There's no.
Well, because he's interviewing you.
But he's interviewed 7 billion people.
Right, correct. But wouldn't you think, though, that just for professional – I mean, maybe, look, it works for Larry. He's had a career that has lasted 6 years. But you would think that he would just know something about you before he sits down across from you. But he prides himself on asking questions because he's never heard of the person before. That's just a weird way to go, isn't it?
Well, when you're doing the interview, it's actually very well-researched. I mean, he asks you really he's really great at asking questions that are – that make him seem like he's known you for years or that he's researched you for months. And I'm sure it's
smart.
Notes that are not his own, but he's really great at that. So during the interview, he really knows a lot about you. But no, I don't think Larry King had any idea who I was, nor does he care
I'm
who I am.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Was that a selfie, that famous selfie that we all saw last week on Twitter, was that his first selfie?
That was his first selfie.
Wow.
I know.
And you guys are making like duck faces or something.
Yeah.
Did you have to explain it for like 5 minutes?
Well, I said to him.
What we're going to do is.
He's great though because he said he doesn't text. He only calls. He's very old fashioned in that way, which I really respect because I don't answer a phone call. I only text. I'm the worst. And so he's the opposite of that, which I liked. So I get the phone and I said, we're going to do a selfie. We need to make horrible faces. And the great thing about him, he's like, great. Done. I'll make a horrible face. And he did. We made these terrible faces.
He rapped when Snoop Dogg came on. That's all I know.
I mean,
he rolls
with the punches.
He really does.
We have a comedy show every year called April Foolishness. He came out and did 10,
he's
15
funny.
Minutes of telling stories.
That's great. I mean, he's.
We went after. We said.
He's a legend.
Yeah. Do you want Larry King? And we were like, well, yes. And then he said, okay, I'll do it. And we were like, do we really want him? Like,
great, yeah.
What does he do? But we had to because
it's Larry King.
It's Larry King.
Yeah,
right.
Of course.
And every day might be his last, so you don't want to miss
it. Oh my gosh!
Well, it was adorable. It was a super fun interview you guys did together.
Yeah,
as was this, Brooklyn. So glad you came in.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations on the show. I mean,
thank you.
Monday night, 8:30 CBS. The show is called Friends with Better Lives. And if we haven't mentioned this, by the way, Kevin Connolly, who we loved on Entourage, is on the show. James Vanderbeek, who's hilarious, is on the show.
Yep.
And I didn't know this, Zoe Lister-Jones, but she's hilarious, too. So
hysterical.
Got yourself a good show there. Good luck to you, my dear.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming in. If you would like to go to see Arcade Fire at the Forum, you can call now 1-800-520-1067. You'll have to play a game to win the tickets, but
What about fifth row seats to see Arcade Fire? They are coming to the Forum August 1st and 2nd. We've got tickets for you in the fifth row today, fourth row tomorrow, then third, second, front row on Friday. We're going to give away a pair of fifth row tickets right now. Plus, you'll be eligible for the grand prize drawing that we do next week for tickets for you and nine friends, your own dressing room, your name on the ticket and the marquee, and you get to introduce the band. So it's nothing but win. By the way, speaking of Arcade Fire, did you see who came out with them last night at Coachella?
Who?
Beck.
Oh, I did not see that.
And sang Controversy.
Really?
Beck and Arcade Fire on stage together doing a Prince song. One of those magic Coachella moments. No word on whether Beck will be joining Arcade Fire for the forum dates, but you're going to win some tickets right now if you play our game we call Famous Arcade Games.
Arcade Fire. You like Arcade Fire. Arcade Games. You like Arcade Games. What does one have to do with the other? Nothing really, but they both have the word arcade in it. Arcade Games. Famous Arcade Games.
Who's got the E?
So it sounds like you're going to be hearing the sound effects from popular arcade games. Are these, would you say, mostly from the 80s, it looks like?
Yeah, they're
to me,
old,
right?
You know, the old
classics.
Beginning, the classics, yes.
Yeah, so all you have to do is tell us what the game is. If you're right, you go into the drawing to win your tickets in the fifth row for Arcade Fire at the Forum. Who's our first contestant?
Chad is our first contestant. Hi there.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Famous Arcade Games. We're going to play you the sound of the game. You have to tell us what game it is.
All right, I'm going to do my best.
Good luck. Here you go.
Pac-Man?
Pac-Man is correct. Nicely done.
All right.
Hold on. Let's go to Chris. Hi there.
Hi.
We're going to play you the sound effect from the game. You have to tell us what it is, all right?
Okay.
Good luck.
Not annoying at all.
Oh, God. I have no idea.
That's a lot harder than
Pac-Man.
Street Fighter 2 is that one. You ever heard of it? Nope.
No.
Okay, sorry. Let's go to Jorge. Hi.
Hello.
Good morning.
You ready for your sound effect? You tell us what game this is?
Sure am.
Famous arcade game.
I have no idea, but I'm going to go with Galaga or something.
All right. That's a good guess from the same era. No, that was Frogger.
All right.
That stupid little frog went across the road. Yeah. Let's go to David. Hi, David.
Hey, good morning.
This is about as far back as we can go. Good luck with this one.
Pong.
Yeah.
Good job.
How did you get Pong?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right. You were in the drawing for Arcade Fire tickets. Congratulations. Pong was the last video game I played because I heard they haven't really advanced much since then.
Oh no, that's true.
So why bother?
Yeah, that's Pong is head and shoulders above like Call of Duty.
Sure.
GTA. Let's go to Jure. Jure. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Jure.
Jure.
Okay,
yeah.
Jure.
What is that? What is Jure?
It's French.
French.
Okay.
Oui, oui. All right, here's your sound effect. Tell us what game this is. What
is
game?
That Donkey Kong?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Galaga. That was Galaga. The guy guessed that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
All That's right. The game we still have at K-Rock today, by the way.
That's true. Let's go to Corey. Hi there.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Are you good at these classic video games?
Pretty much.
All right. Here's the sound effect. Tell us what game it is.
Sub-Zero with Fatality.
It's Mortal Kombat.
That is Mortal Kombat. Nicely done.
All right.
Hold on.
So three in the drawing so far, playing for fifth row Arcade Fire tickets for their shows at the Forum on August 1st and 2nd. Who's next?
Rebecca, good morning. You ready for your sound effect?
I am.
Here it comes. Do you recognize that game?
That is
Raid in space?
Asteroids. Sorry.
Thank you.
One more.
One more. Let's go to Brian. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How have you been doing on hold? You've been getting some of them?
I got all except for the last one.
Okay.
Oh, good for you.
All right. Here's your sound effect. Tell us what game this is from.
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong is right.
Good job.
Nicely done.
All right. So we got your Chad, we got your David, we got your Corey, we got your Brian all in the drawing. Only one can win tickets for Arcade Fire at the Forum and be eligible for the grand prize draw we do next week to present the show with you and nine friends. Lisa, who's our winner?
Chad.
Chad, the first person we talked to. Chad, congratulations.
Awesome.
Enjoy the show. Thanks for playing Famous Arcade Games. Arcade Games. Famous Arcade Games. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Hey, Kings fans, Luke Robitaille, president of business operations, talks to us right after the top of the hour about the 0-2 hole the Kings are in against the Sharks. But that home ice does mean something in Los Angeles, that's for sure. So that's coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's happening, Ralph?
Yeah, we have to play better defense, eh?
Hey, spoiler alert, we haven't talked to him yet, Ralph.
We got some problems there. I think we need to work on getting back to basics.
Is that your Luke Robitaille impression?
I think, we need to work harder because, hockey is hard to play.
Sad, that's my sad Luke.
I like it.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office here on the Showbiz Beat. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, $26.6 million. That's a lot of money.
Yep.
Good enough to make it number one. Rio 2 was right behind it, though, with $22.5 million. Then Heaven is for Real, which was the surprise of the weekend. And its debut made $21.5 million. This is the film with Greg Kinnear, plays the father. True story of a young boy who has a near-death experience and comes back with a rather full knowledge of the afterlife and those who dwell within it. Freaking some people out.
Yeah.
Including his own dad.
And he says he saw Jesus, right? Described what Jesus was like. And, what heaven looked like.
Met relatives of his that he never knew, of course, because he's just a small boy. And was telling other people, the strangers, that he was in contact with their loved ones and stuff. And
very creepy.
Yeah, heady stuff.
Based on a true story, right?
Yeah.
Colton Burpo, let's not forget.
Will you stop saying Colton Burpo?
That's the kid's name.
I know it is, but stop saying that like it's a thing.
It's all that matters.
It's not all that matters. The kid went to heaven. Maybe that's that is a little more important than Colton Burpo.
I don't know. That's a tough call.
That's
a tough call right there.
Mess. Transcendence, the new Johnny Depp film, debuted with just $11 million, making it number four. A Haunted House 2 was fifth. Draft Day, Divergent, Oculus, Noah, and God's Not Dead, rounding out your top ten. There's a great interview with Brooklyn Decker, by the way, boys. I just want to say how difficult it was for those of us in the office before she came into the studio to hear her talk about her love of bulldogs and farm animals.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Soon as she suggesting we were meant to be together, yes, we were.
Soon as she walked in, Bean said, I love your pit bulls. And she said, I love your pit bulls.
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. Whatever. Who cares?
Different breed.
A little the same.
It's a conversation from 20 minutes ago. You can't remember that?
Well, I think that's clear.
Yeah. That's a rhetorical question, right, Bean?
She was delightful, by the
she
way.
She was.
Very smart, yes. Very nice lady. I enjoyed her very much.
Charming. We've had some good broads on the show today.
We have?
Yep.
And by the way, tomorrow, if I could just put in a plug, tomorrow is Dude Day.
Dudes! Oh, I love dudes.
Two of our favorites, the return of Kevin Smith and our old friend David Alan Greer stopping by tomorrow. So we had the ladies on today. Tomorrow will be the gentlemen. Should still be fun.
Wow.
We're on the sausage hunt right now.
Yes, we are. Hey, Debbie Gibson. Remember her from the 80s?
Sure.
A pop phenomenon, Debbie Gibson.
What's her song?
She
alone?
Had several.
We're alone now?
Only in My Dreams was one of her big hits.
Mm-hmm.
Electric Blue was the album, I guess, was the name of the album that she had. Yeah. It was a big hit.
I remember that.
Come on, Bean, help me out. You got.
She had that Shake, what was it, Shake It Up, Shake It Down.
Shake Your Love.
Shake Your Love. She had Shake Your Love. That was one of hers. Lost in Your Eyes, I think, was
another one. Another big hit. The reason I bring her up is because people were hammering at her, saying, oh, she's anorexic and she's so thin and, oh, she's disgusting. She needs a sandwich and blah, blah, blah. So much so, it forced her to come forward and say she has been battling Lyme disease for some time.
Ooh.
Oh. What is that?
Lyme disease, Kevin, is an immunity
right?
disease usually caused by a tick bite. Yes. And it's like having the flu always for a long, long time.
That's rough.
It's horrible. It's a horrible disease. But she has been battling it after being tested for everything under the sun. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. It turns out that she had contracted Lyme disease.
And that causes you to lose a lot of weight? Is that the
point? You're just sick all the time. You don't eat, and you're just you just got all kinds of things coming out of you. And it's a nightmare.
You develop some new spouts?
Yes. I had a friend of mine who suffered from it. It's just a horrible, horrible illness. So she said, this is why I look so thin and sickly. It's because I've been battling this. So how about you don't judge anyone ever? Because you never know what someone is going through, she said, regarding the shocking and sometimes brutal comments made about her appearance over the past year. Which I think is excellent advice, but we also got a show to do, Deb, so there's nothing I can help you out
Sorry.
With there. Sorry. I would love not to be judgmental and to take into account that someone is going through something at all times, but
it's a lot of fun.
F that. I got no time for that kind of tolerance. I'm sorry. I got to make a living, you know? I got to cash the checks because one day I'll be dead.
You need to listen to a better show.
You got your problems. We got ours.
That's right. Everybody's got something to deal with. And one of those people is Ricky Spicer. You may not know his name, but he was the kid at the time who sang the lead with this group called Ponderosa Twins Plus One. And he's had a minor hit with the song Bound.
I don't know any of those words.
Well, you know the song because it is the sample that Kanye West pulled and played in Bound 2, his song.
That's not the
No, that's Brenda Lee from another song. It's another sample.
Ugh.
But how's that go? Damn it. That middle chunk there, the singing part.
I'm just clearing his throat. I think he's got it.
It's not I Don't Want to Fall in Love, but... It's something like that. I don't want to fall in love. No, it's not it. But
I got it. I got it right here for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Anyway, if you know the song Bouncing, there's a part where someone sings.
Okay.
That's not Kanye talking about bending the woman he loves over a sink.
All right.
And that he stole that from a band from the 70s and put it in his song without paying for it.
Oh.
So this guy, Ricky Spicer, who's the lead singer of that band, famously sued Kanye West last year because of this. Now he's suing again, this time Vogue magazine's website, because they have a little video of the photo shoot with Kim and Kanye, and they include that song in that as well. So now he wants to get paid by these people as well for them knowingly using the sample in the web video without giving him any recompense.
Interesting.
And I don't know this guy, but I just hope he sues everybody bankrupt. I just want him to just keep suing and suing and suing. I'm usually not a sue guy. I'm not Sue Studio.
Wow.
But I do want him to inflict financial pain on some of these people. So that makes me feel good.
It is funny, though, that you sue for somebody using a sample of a song that the person probably isn't making any money off of anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're actually suing somebody for selling music, which is zero profit industry anyway.
Right. And Jack White did it. He now holds the record for the world's fastest record. We talked about this. And if that sounds confusing, he recorded the world's fastest record at 10 a.m. on Saturday, Record Store Day. He took the stage at the Blue Room at the Nashville headquarters of his Third Man Records, recorded two tracks live with a backing band. Then he ran with those tapes, cutting them directly to acetate. The masters were then zoomed across town to a pressing plant where they manufactured 45s. A picture sleeve was taken while he was singing the songs. They were printed, published, folded, stapled, glued, boom. Then the song was up for sale.
So there were people at the show who saw it done live, and then when they went home a couple of hours later, they had it on a record.
Couple of hours? Total time from start to finish, 3 hours, 55 minutes, and 21 seconds. Less than 4 hours later, they had the 45 in their hands.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Really?
And yet?
And yet, they're 45s.
What?
And
what am I supposed to do
with
that?
And they just saw the guy singing it. So, I guess it's record for record's sake.
Well, you guys haven't heard the song, though.
Oh, do you have a clip?
I'm pretty sure we did,
wait
actually.
To hear. Oh, yeah, that's right, Lisa.
Yeah,
we played it earlier.
Song.
That's right. I forgot.
Shut up when I'm talking to you!
He's going to force it on us.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
he's lost some of his vocal ability, I think.
Speaking of Third Man Records, Neil Young released a new album on Friday and didn't tell anyone.
I already bought it.
Pizza first! Burst! Pizza first! Burst!
It's a vinyl-only LP that was recorded inside Jack White's 1947 voiceograph machine.
What's happening?
At Jack's place in Nashville.
Jack White is just nonsense.
It's 12 remakes of other people's songs.
With nonsense.
Including a song from Gordon Lightfoot.
Hells yeah.
It'll cost you $20 if you buy it at thirdmanstore.com. Does Jack White want to reduce music back to like hitting rocks together and painting lyrics on cave walls? What does he have against the present? 45s and 1947 voiceograph machines. You want to burn a wax cylinder there, Jack? You want to talk through a tin can with a piece of string in the other end of it and sing to us? For God's sakes, man!
I think he does have one of the few remaining machines left, Ralph, where you can record directly to vinyl. In other words, you're making the master of the recording.
Right, there's one, right? There's
while you're
one,
singing.
While you, it's like it's going from a big megaphone into a needle that burns into a piece of vinyl or something, right? Yeah, well, those days are gone for a reason.
You're saying there's an easier and better way to accomplish the same goal now.
There seems to be.
Neil Young and that technology together is just the perfect fit. Yeah. You don't want to lose any quality of that lovely voice by putting it down on digital. You need to leave the analog experience to get... Get that.
I'm sure you know, Ralph.
I know. Like a monkey, I know.
Crusading against this digital technology. He hates MP3s. He buys up copies of his albums so that he can, put them up on his roof. I mean, he hates the way things sound now.
Yeah. Well, like I said, with a voice like that, you don't want to lose any quality.
Sure, it's true.
It's beautiful.
Today's celebrity birthdays,
Pizza first! Burst!
Ralph Lawler. Voice of your L.A. Clippers, 76 years old today. Iggy Pop is 67. Tony Danza, 63. Andy McDowell is 56. Robert Smith of The Cure turns 55 today.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:11.
So, Kevin, how have your hockey playoffs been going so far?
A1. Very happy with the progress. Very happy with the way we look.
What's that experience been like for you, watching Thursday night game and then last night's game?
Well, I mean, it hasn't been... I don't know that we need the music.
I think we need the sad music.
I don't think we... Last night was particularly rough.
Let's find out what's going on from a man who knows, the president of Business Operations, Hockey Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats in the history of the sport, our friend, Sad Luke Robitaille, joins us on the phone. Hi, Sad Luke.
There's room for improvement. There's room for improvement, guys.
You think?
That's one way to put it. Look, you've been through every possible permutation of ups and downs in this silly sport that you love, Luke. Tell me what's going on in the locker room right now. What are the guys saying to each other when they give up 13 goals in two games?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you... As a player, I mean, you're obviously not happy with what's happened, but it's kind of been a little weird the way we've given out number chances. We're not that type of team, so we really expect our guys to respond next game. I mean, it's kind of weird because it started so well for us yesterday, and then it just suddenly just turned around. But we're not playing the type of game that we normally play, so. We know our guys are going to turn around. I mean, these guys have been through a lot of wars in the last 3 years, and they're the kind of team that we have. There's a lot of guys with a lot of character in that locker room. So we expect our guys to come back and respond this week in front of our fans in a different way, and we're definitely going to have to shut it down. We can't give up that many outnumbered chances, and, you know, it just doesn't work in our game.
How do you deal with the psychological aspect of it? Because I imagine it must be very – I mean, both games were brutal because in one game we were behind 5-0, and then last night the Kings were ahead 2-0 at the end of the first, and then they scored 7 in a row. Like that, both of those are very hard to take psychologically.
Yeah. No, it's not the thing about playoffs is like you could lose 2-1 or lose 7-2. It's just one game that you lost, you know, and we've lost two of those games and. now we just know it's time for us to regroup as a team to tighten it up and play the type of game that we play. I mean, we were the best defensive team for the last few years, and, you know, we know that's the way our team's going to turn it around tomorrow. It's the only way we're going to win, and we all understand how big the game is suddenly tomorrow. I mean, we're going to be in front of our fans. I mean, we've been really good at home, especially against San Jose. They don't play the same way when they play on the road, so, you know, I expect our guys tomorrow to pick it up to an entire other level, and you know, it's that's what makes it fun. You got to play every game, and that's why you got to play sports. But it certainly hasn't been fun this weekend. But like I said, there's a lot of character in our locker room. Our coach has been through a lot throughout his career too, as a coach and as a player. And we all believe in what we're doing as an organization, and we expect our guys to respond tomorrow.
So part of being a professional athlete is developing that hardened skin, that ability to throw off whatever happened in the last game and hit the ice new, right? I mean, basically, that's what you've got to do. Is you can only play one game at a time. You can't worry about the game in 2 weeks. You can't worry about the game 2 nights ago.
Yeah, you know what you hear in sports where they always go, one game at a time, one of a time, that stupid thing. It's kind of true.
That's why they repeat it?
But, like, you know, it doesn't matter what the score was last night. Now, we got to come out tomorrow and play our best game. And, you know, we got to play 60 minutes and play the same way for 60 minutes. And if we do that, you know, being at home, you know, I think our results are going to be great.
What's it like in the locker room for Jonathan Quick right now?
I mean, you know, he's a competitor. He battles hard. I mean, you as Vince saw yesterday, he was getting mad at the other team. And then, you know, I was there at the game, and then you see him in the third period where in a break he goes to the bench and he talks to his entire team. And he's a leader. He's a competitor, and for him, like, you know, he puts all the pressure on his shoulder. That's the kind of player he is, the kind of person he is, and we know he always seems to come out, you know, after one or two bad games and be at his best. We expect that out of him. He's that kind of player. I mean, to say how is he? I mean, I'm sure he's not happy. None of our guys are happy because they're about winner. They're about winning, and they're winners. And but, you know, I think his biggest strength is the way he always bounces back from any kind of situation.
I'll tell you what I love about Jonathan Quick is if you get in his crease, he will punch you in the head.
Oh, yeah. He won't accept anything. And, you know, San Jose is doing a good job. They're crashing the net, and they're trying to get in his face because he's been the best goalie in the world for the last few years. So, there's no doubt in our mind he's going to bounce back. He always does.
Well, the one thing about you always talk about how the guys play together as a team, you know, as good as anybody in the NHL. And when you're together as a team, you all accept the failure. You all accept the victory. You don't blame the one guy who had an off night, right? Because you're all together.
No, it's not an individual game, especially even for the Kings. It's even more. I mean, you're listening to our coach the last few days. That's all he talks about. It's a team game, and we're going to win as a team, and we're going to lose as a team. So he's not pointing a finger at anybody. He just wants us to go as a group, and that includes everybody in the Kings organization. We're all going as a group, and, you know, we all take the loss very hard, but at the same time, we enjoy the win as a group. And that's the way our players play, and that's the way the entire Kings organization is.
And the game tomorrow night's at 7 o'clock, right? Not 7:30?
7 o'clock tomorrow. Big one.
Yep.
I bet Coach Sutter is just given the most fiery or ornate speeches he's ever given in front of. I mean, I bet he's just jumping up and down and screaming. Oh wait, you probably can't tell whether you won or lost based on what he's doing behind the podium.
When he's talking to the press,
best press conference, isn't he?
He really does. It's rough. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's really entertaining.
Hey, I heard Ralph did a bad imitation of me.
Well, yeah, he did. He said that he was sad, Luke. Yeah. I don't know if he's listening in the other room. He might be out having a smoke, but
he was like, yeah, we got to play harder, eh?
Well, Luke, will you go down into the locker room? Will you say anything to the guys?
It's really, you know.
They've won a Stanley Cup. They know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, and it's we all have our role in the team, and you got to respect that. And the players know what it takes. Our coaches are great coaches. They've been through it before. And I think, as you know, it's all we got to support each other if anybody needs help. But at the same time, you know, everybody knows knows their role, and you got to respect that. And we're all going to go in a positive manner. We all believe in what we could do tomorrow, and we're all going that way. I mean, it's the best way to manage a team at this time.
I'm ready to jump on the ice. I'm just
putting
that out.
It's going to be great. We know it's going to be loud tomorrow, and it's going to be coming right out of the gate. We know our team's going to come out strong, and we've had great results at home, and we expect that tomorrow.
Hey, you were down to 2-0 last year in the first round of the playoffs,
too. Exactly. Like, we know that. We know those things can happen, and there's no reason to panic. You just got to come out, though, and tighten up. Sometimes when things aren't go good, you go back to basics.
Right.
And it's all about execution and doing it right and keep doing it shift after shift. And that's the way we are, and that's what we believe in our team.
Well, that's a great attitude, Luke, and we really appreciate you squeezing in some time. We know you have a very busy week, so let's do it again. Let's do it again in round two when we talk to Happy Luke, okay?
We win tomorrow. I might have to call you back Wednesday.
That's fine.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
Anyway, I want to tell you, there's a couple of good things I want to tell you. Speaking of British and records, for the first time,
said anything about
this
that.
Tuesday on KOCE, that's the PBS station out of Orange County, they're going to show the Dave Clark 5 documentary for 2 hours.
Sounds like a terrible.
And that's this Tuesday at 8 p.m. from 8 to 10. On KOCE.
Thank you.
And if you happen to miss it, they're going to repeat it again Friday.
Friday.
What if I miss it Friday?
Dave Clark 5 documentary. Yeah, can you imagine? You never see that on TV. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to have Wayne County. Do you know that Wayne County was once the fan club president of Dave Clark 5?
Sure, everyone knows Wayne County.
Just like Morrissey was the president for the New York Dolls.
New York Dolls.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot of Dave Clark 5 talk, but thank you, Roddy. Appreciate
that. Happens on this station. That's a real thing.
But at least it is some news. At least he's bringing something interesting.
We're not making that up.
Yeah, it makes me glad all over to hear him talk about the Dave Clark 5.
Did you hear the whole thing or just bits and pieces, Ralph? I don't get that. Song title, I imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, F you both. Time for the Showbiz Beatdown. Ralph is here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Well, catch me if you can, because now I am going to do some Showbiz news. It is Monday morning. Let me look at the top 10 movies.
Stop it.
I'm just thinking about how few people get any of the things we're talking about.
That's correct.
Right now. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, number one at the box office, $26.6 million. Made it number one. Rio 2. $22.5 million. That Rio thing is for reals.
Yeah. It's a deal.
Well, we talked about it during the movie beat. Everyone's seen Frozen so many times now that thank God there's something else to take your kids to, right?
I guess with spring break and everything, if you got little kids who are out, movies is an option.
Sure.
Heaven is for Real. Debuted $21.5 million. Transcendence, the new Johnny Depp film. Disappointed. Studio was just $11 million in its opening weekend, but that was still good enough to make it number four. A Haunted House 2 was fifth, and Draft Day, Divergent, Oculus, Noah, and God's Not Dead.
Eric Three Idle. Religious films in the top 10, by the way. You don't see that very often.
Eric Idle of Monty Python fame said it may be time for another Monty Python movie with God's Not Dead being such a hit. God's Not Dead. He's resting in a reference to the dead parrot sketch where the guy returns the parrot to the pet shop. He sold him a dead parrot.
Oh.
He comes up to the guy at the counter and says, "Yes, we're doing this parrot. You sold it to me. It's dead." "It's not dead. It's resting."
"It's not resting. It's dead."
"No, it isn't. Look, it just moved."
"You just hit the cage. You stapled it to the perch."
Hey, Gwen Stefani's got a new gig. She will be sitting in Christina Aguilera's chair next season on NBC's The Voice.
Hoochie coochie.
I don't ever want to hear that again.
Reporting that Christina is pregnant and decided to bow out of the show's next run so she could be a mom. Begins taping in June. And Gwen signed a one-year deal to coach. And then Christina will be back the following season. But Adam Levine and Blake Shelton and Pharrell Williams will be in the other chairs as well. CeeLo won't be returning.
You were talking earlier about what a great job they do in so many facets of that program, The Voice. But yes. I mean, even with the judges, the way they rotate them in and out, and every cast is as good as the last.
They're all good. I mean, who could you get hotter for the next season other than Pharrell and Gwen Stefani?
Right?
I mean, it's just
They just do it right.
Where's Tyrannosaurus these days? Where's he? Where's little T-Rex? He's out, right?
I think he's out. He's out could never reach that, season. That button.
That's what it was. He was frustrated. Was. Yeah. He kept wanting to take people on his team, and he goes,
can't reach it.
He could reach it. His ears would puff out and spit venom. Oh, yeah, that's a velociraptor. Never mind. Dean McDermott. You know that name, Dean McDermott?
Yep.
He is the philandering husband of Tori Spelling. She's been going on a promotional tour talking about how he screwed her over, cheated on him multiple times with many different women. And she's heartbroken. She can't trust anyone. Her life's a shambles. And you can follow it all in her new reality series called True Tory.
Yeah, that's odd.
She's been pimping out her heartbreak to try to get people to tune in for her new reality show. Well, this couple is made for each other. This is the perfect couple. Because now he is complaining that his name isn't in the title of the reality show. He's apparently very upset. It's called True Tory, and Dean is nowhere to be found. Because he said, after all, I let cameras follow me through a stint in rehab. And I let the show make me the bad guy.
The show made him the bad guy?
And I let them document my marital crisis. How about a little love for the drummer? How come Dean's name isn't in the title of the reality show? It shows what a douchebag I am.
Wow. I don't have... Even with all of that going on, I don't have any interest in this show.
No, of course not. But I just think it's...
That is
fascinating. The guy who's just... who's been miserable to his wife and just has a lot of splaining to do... is more concerned about his name isn't in the title of their new reality show. And she's out there pimping her so-called heartbreak to tell people to tune into her so-called reality show. We live in weird times, boys and girls.
That we do.
Miley Cyrus has canceled the rest of her Bangers tour in the U.S. There are only 7 shows left, but she's still in the hospital.
What's up with that?
They say it's an allergic reaction to antibiotics.
But isn't that... a quicker thing? I mean, does it take this long?
Well, she was sick, apparently, enough to need antibiotics in the first place, and then the allergic reaction compounded things and made things very difficult for her. She said she has...
I feel like we're going to find out there's more to this
story. She's resting comfortably, but has not stuck her tongue out for days.
Oh.
So they're really concerned about her well-being.
They best cancel.
She may never twerk again. Doctors are trying to give her an assectomy.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. They may be rescheduled for later in the summer, so you can, if you got tickets to see Miley Cyrus, first of all, shame on you, and second of all, you may get to see her. And I heard you guys talking about Coachella.
Yep.
No secret that one of Green Day's biggest influences, The Replacements, but it was a big surprise over the weekend when Billy Joe Armstrong got up on stage with the band.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, frontman Paul Westerberg threw his back out, so he spent most of the set performing from a comfy couch, they say. And Billy Joe hopped up on stage. He had rehearsed with the band before, so he sounded great with them, and everybody was very impressed when Billy played guitar and helped out on vocals for the Replacements classics like Alex Chilton and Can't Hardly Wait, Color Me Impressed. So,
have some audio if you want to hear.
Oh, yes. Yes, Kevin, I would love to hear some of that.
You're the head on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost. You're the letter from Jesus on the bathroom wall. You're Mother Superior with only a bra. You're the same.
Wrong with his voice. What's going on?
Seriously.
Doesn't sound as good as it used to.
That sounds like a surprise from all the audio we know. What he sounds like before. Remember,
American Idiot, you sound a little stronger.
we got to talk again sometime about how just K-Rock is just a dump. How it's just a festering sinkhole of an office and a building and a way to live. It's just a nightmare. We're in the office. I can barely think straight because the temperature in the office keeps plummeting no matter what we do to it.
It's freezing.
When I left the office, it was 56 degrees.
Wow.
And we keep turning up the thermostat. We have like 170 now, and it doesn't matter how high you turn it up.
Oh, the thermostat's not connected. It isn't.
There's literally snow and ice blowing out of the vents above us in the ceiling. It's like the day after tomorrow in there. We're running around. We're trying to run away from the cold as it comes down the hallway. And over in the Jack side, oh, it's just tropical breezes, and there's girls doing hula dances. Some strangers are sitting there on a beach. They have a beach over there. They're drinking drinks out of coconut shells, being fanned with palm fronds. They're dipping Carson Daly literally in gold over there. He's being covered in gold. And we are sitting in Mr. Freeze's hideout. I've been singing Let It Go all morning. That's how cold I am. I am frozen.
By the way, this is not just a one-day issue either.
No, there's always something that's going on here. It's either a vermin infestation or crumbling asbestos from the ceilings or malfunctioning temperatures or...
Toilets, don't forget the toilets.
Toilets overflowing. There's a chimney. They had to put a chimney in to funnel away the poop smell away from the bathrooms. So when you walk out the front of the door, you just get hit in the face with a big cloud of poop smell.
I think K-Rock is always the, we're the adopted kid that... Nobody really wants. Nobody really wants to take care of. We're the last on the list to get any kind of repairs or love.
It's just a hell.
It's madness.
I don't know why that is.
I think they just want us to quit, and they can't. They don't have the balls to fire us, so they're just trying to make conditions so bad.
Let's make it as cold as possible.
Let's make it as miserable for them. They won't stay if we do this.
Seriously, all the way down to 56.
And then we keep staying. They just can't. They just can't get rid of us, no matter how hard they try. They put beer mug in here to work with us. They tried everything.
Well, Muggs is clearly the mole. There's no question about that. He's in here trying to destroy the show from the inside.
All right. Happy Monday, everybody. Today's celebrity birthdays, Queen Elizabeth II. And I never saw Queen Elizabeth I, but I really enjoyed Queen Elizabeth II, especially the special effects. 88 years old today, Ralph Lawler, the voice of your Los Angeles Clippers, 76 years old.
Well, the thrill is mine, Mr. Kevin and Mr. Bean.
He's thrilled.
Yeah.
Iggy Pop of the Stooges, 67 years old today. Of course, very successful solo career. Do you have a little Stooges music for us, Kevin? Do you?
Kill the head!
I guess you could have picked something else. Tony Danza, 63. Andy McDowell's 56. Robert Smith of the Cure is 55. Do you have a little
Kill the head! On the spear!
Rob Riggle's 44. James McAvoy is 35 years old. He, of course, is going to star this summer in X-Men, Days of Future Past. Here's a little scene from that film.
Kill the head! On the
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow
Can't
morning.
Can't beat him, join him. That's what I said.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. The International Man of Mystery joins us. Finally, Doto.
I believe we've
tracked him down. I'm not sure how Dave has done this because he's impossible to track down. But I believe he's still in Malaysia, or as he says, I'm Malaysia.
He's Malaysia, yeah.
I believe he's still there, and yet we're going to connect with him telephonically.
He's always made it clear to us he only can speak with us when he's in America.
We've never been able to do this before. But
we've got to put a chip in that kid.
We really do.
To see where he really is.
That guy. What do you need him for?
He's the best. Kevin Smith will be here talking about Smodcast 300th episode.
Yeah.
We have David Alan Greer, funny man, in studio.
Yeah.
And we've got your tickets for Arcade Fire in the fourth row. Tomorrow you can continue listening today for tickets in the fifth row. We'll see you.